This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to discuss a few things. We'll move off of this Hegseth stuff here in just a few minutes. I want to pay you a compliment in a second before we get to that. This hour, we're going to talk about the Lawfare getting dropped against Trump, but not totally dropped. Why not? We'll discuss it. 3/4 of American parents don't want tranny insanity in their schools, yet it's in the schools. Why? We'll do emails, might even talk about a little bit of wildfire stuff, all that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, Pete Hegseth's going to get confirmed. It sounds like, if you believe these senators who I've been talking to, it sounds like they're all going to get confirmed. Bondi, RFK, Tulsi, Vought, down the line. It sounds like it's going to be yes, 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 yes. But what changed? Don't you remember? Let's rewind. We don't have to go back too far. Trump gets elected. Week or two goes by after the election. And he starts putting up names that are going to be his nominee. In fact, I believe, if I remember right, Matt Gaetz was the first one. Matt Gaetz is going to be my attorney general. And almost immediately, the hand-wringing started in Washington, D.C. Well, I'm just not comfortable with it. I mean, the ethics, I'm just not sure. And boom, Matt Gaetz drops out right away. Okay? And then Pete Hegseth. In fact, he was the one that really, really got their hackles up. Pete Hegseth comes. And immediately, I'm not talking about what the Democrats said. Set that aside. We all know they're crazy communists. Immediately, you had Republicans like Joni Ernst of Iowa counter-signaling Pete Hegseth. Well, I mean, I do have a lot of concerns. These accusations, I'm just not very comfortable with it. I'm not really sure so far. I just don't know about this. And she wasn't alone. Lindsey Graham was actually working behind the scenes. Did you know that? Lindsey Graham, who Donald Trump sticks up for at every turn, was trying to torpedo Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense. Well, I mean, I'm just not comfortable with Pete Hegseth. I heard he likes women and over and over and over again. And then what happened? How did we get from that? They're all over him. I don't know about RFK. I don't like Pete. How did we get from that to here we are sitting here January 14th, and it looks like they're all going to sail through? All we have is some impotent yelling from Democrats through the confirmation hearing, but none of that's going to go anywhere. How did we get from that? Well, you did that. Do you know that? You did that. The right, for the longest time, bought into this ridiculous, childlike notion of the silent majority. And we always use that as the comforting blanket. Well, sure, I mean, these communists are really loud, but we outnumber them, guys. We don't say anything. We don't ever speak up, but there's more of us than them. We're good, right? That, of course, means absolutely nothing at all. Either you speak up, you get loud, and you become an activist for your cause when you live in a representative republic, or your cause isn't going to go anywhere. I actually had somebody ask me, I've had this question a bunch of, why does everything seem so anti-Christian in our country now? Which is odd for a country that was founded by Christians. Why is that the case? How is that the case? It's the group you can dump all over. You can pass laws against them. Why? Politicians, especially on the left, well, mainly on the left, feel totally comfortable blasting them publicly. Why? Well, the uncomfortable answer is Christians don't advocate. They put their head down and they go along. Well, I just got to pay my taxes and turn the other cheek. And That's why you end up in a country, in a culture, where you are savaged top to bottom. That's why. That's how. Back to what we were talking about. These senators, they came out immediately. I don't know about Pete. Well, I'm not comfortable. You got angry, and you started to pour that anger on these senators. You started sending emails. Maybe you even wrote letters. Maybe you called your congressman, called your senator. We live in the social media era, and as I've told you before, they're all on social media, and don't think for a second it's their staffers. I know these people personally. They're on Twitter when you're on Twitter. They're reading the comments. They're looking at what's trending. Did you see this Facebook post? Did you see this on Instagram? These are not people who are above that. They're knee-deep in it. And you took to social media, and you poured venom on these low-T GOP losers who were thinking about screwing over Trump's nominees, and you poured so much venom on them. You had senators like Lisa Murkowski. Remember this cut? She's going out publicly proclaiming, I don't even understand. A primary? That's not supposed to happen.
Don't get on Santa's naughty list here, because we will primary you. I mean, we are seeing that play out in real time right now with the nominees. The nominees who have just been named. There's been no committee process on any of them. They're just kind of doing their courtesy calls right now. And my friend Joni Ernst, who is probably one of the more conservative, principled Republican leaders in the Senate right now, is being hung out to dry for not being good enough. And you're going to get primaried. Well, you know, what's this all about? What?
You hear her voice? How shocked and indignant she is. What's this all about? Primary? Wait a minute. What? That's not supposed to happen. I'm a United States senator. I'm a Republican senator. I forever have been allowed to do whatever I want to do. Screw my voters right, left, up and down every single chance I get. And then the brain-dead GOP primary voter, he will just always walk to the polls and vote me in again. So why can't I become a swamp creature? What, they're talking about primarying me? They were shocked at the venom you poured on them. Congratulations. That's why you speak up and speak out. Don't you dare think for a second you're supposed to be nice to these people. Don't you think they're on your team in some way? The Republicans in the United States Senate, not all of them, but most of them, view their role as stopping you. You are the bane of their existence. They hate that they even have to pretend to care about you. They want to just serve the swamp, which of course means serving themselves without end, and they have been used to the system that allows them to screw us all, and we never do anything about it. We never say anything about it. Well, we're the silent majority, guys. I'm turning my cheek. No more. Bully your local GOPer, your state GOPer, and your federal GOPer every single chance you get. Every time they show cowardice, just know that's their natural inclination is cowardice, running from a fight. And if you don't pull out a bullwhip and whip them back in line, they're going to screw you over and run the other direction the same way they always have. You want to keep Joni Ernst in line? She's never going to do the right thing because it's the right thing. You better get out there and make sure she knows her job is on the line. Joni Ernst today, she practically got on her knees and kissed Pete Hegseth's rear end during the confirmation hearing. How did we go from, well, I'm just not sure. I mean, that there are a lot of very concerning allegations. I definitely want to talk to the accusers of this media campaign. How did we go from that to Joni Ernst gluing her lips to Pete Hegseth's rear end today? How did that happen? You did it. You had enough of this crap, and you did it. Good job. I'm proud of you. Shoot, I'm proud of me. I'm not Chris. I'm proud of Corey. I'm proud of all of us. No more silent majority. John Cornyn's feeling it right now, too. I told you. In a hypothetical head-to-head matchup in his Texas primary, which is next year, he's currently down 10 points to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. If we can secure that, watch the GOP Senate get more in line than they've ever been if we put the fear of God in them. All it will take is one scalp. Take one scalp and then watch the rest of them get in line. Good job. And along those lines, actually, I'm going to talk about this parents and trannies in school. We'll get to emails. I'll get to those next and other things. Before I get to those things, I want to talk about something amazing, which is saving babies. The best thing we do. Probably the best thing I'll ever do on this show. If it was one baby's life. I don't know how long it'll be before they kick me off the air, but whenever they finally do, the truth is if all that time resulted in the life of one baby, it will have been worth it. And that's what Preborn does every day. Preborn saves 200 babies a day, giving the gift of ultrasound to a young mother who's about to make the worst decision of her life and the last decision of the baby's life. Preborn sets up their clinics in the highest abortion areas of the country, and they offer these women not just an ultrasound, hope, care, up to 2 years of care. You need diapers, you need formula. Preborn's there, and you do that, and it's tax deductible. That's insane. $28 buys that ultrasound. You give them as much as you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you not only can you email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Jesse, Sergeant Greasy here, retired law enforcement. You know, I was going to call and talk about the ghost thing and say something, you know, amazing, like maybe you're a ghost, considering how often you disappear from work. But I'm going to go with, of course, you've met a ghost. You work with a ghost. Chris, I mean, every time the bill comes for food, can't you just see him disappear? Don't you hear the chains rattling and the woo? I don't have my wallet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to see Chris get T-Rex arms? Just wait. Just wait till the bill comes. It'd be, I can't reach it. Oh, did you already get it? Yeah, we all know how it goes. Jesse, at what point in time did fighting wars shift from battling for survival and conquering to creating a crisis on purpose to support corruption and money as we see it today? There is nothing new under the sun. Okay. Don't, just because we all look, human beings love war history. We are fascinated with carnage and violence, and I'm guilty as anybody. Carnage and violence and conquest and all the things that come with it. War fascinates us. And when we read history stories, or when I talk a history story with you about an ancient battle or an ancient war, you love it, and we nerd out, and we're trying to put ourselves there. We're talking about, but don't have some lofty view of war, that wars were, you know, we used to fight wars for the right reasons, but not now like we do today. Wars have been fought for great reasons and terrible reasons throughout the history of mankind. People have gone to war because of personal slights before. People have gone to war to increase their popularity at home. People, when they lose sight of human beings and when they lose the appreciation for human life, which is very easy to do once you become in charge, a commander, a general, a king, or whatever it is, it's very easy to forget about the value of the individual human being. And human beings will go to war over nothing. It has always been that way. And I'll tell you something. Once you allow a military, a standing military, to be enormous. Once you permit that, you are on the road for trouble. The founders talked about it all the time. We were not supposed to have a large standing army. Once you get a large standing army, you're going to use it. It's going to drain the treasure of the country. It's going to drain the blood of the country. When you look, and this is a human nature thing, it goes back to power, which we've talked about so many times before. If you walk around holding a hammer, you want to hit something with it. It's natural. You're holding it in your hands. You have this power. You want to do something with it. When you take command of a large army, you want to use it. It's human nature. And when you do so, people in that army will die. Brave people who join for the right reasons will die. It has to be used sparingly and only when it is absolutely necessary. But wars being fought for reasons that aren't good is not some modern American invention by any stretch of the imagination. It's how it goes when your country gets corrupted. We have our government now is a criminal enterprise. We have a criminal government. I call it the system. It only exists to protect itself now, like all criminal organizations. Think of it like an Italian mafia family. The only real purpose of the family at some level is protect the family. There's no higher calling. The people in our government, because of the neglect of the citizens, the people in our government are morons, scumbags. They are only there for themselves, only there to enrich and empower themselves. And that includes the top brass in the United States military. You think, when I say that, you think about politicians and the people in suits. And yeah, I mean, you don't need any help to hate Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. You're already there. But what if I stood a general in front of you? And especially today, he's going to have a lot of ribbons and medals on his chest. And you don't even know what those things are. I mean, shoot, I don't even know what half those things are. Man, he must have done a lot. Probably really brave and been fighting for the country forever. Look at the ribbons and medals. Those don't lie, of course. If I stood that guy in front of you with all those ribbons and medals, would you be as suspicious of that general as you are of the senator? If the answer is no, you should be. And that's right, Chris, back to that conversation we had on that one show. We are a country now run by credentialed morons. Oh, I know the scientist has a bunch of degrees. I get that. Oh, I know the general's been to all these different schools and he's got all these accommodations. Oh, I get that. He's an idiot and a dirtball. Now, let's focus on something wonderful. You. 2025. What if we could all make this year a healthier year? No, I'm not going to scream at you about cutting back on carbs or something lame like that. What if you started some natural herbal supplements from Chalk and it changed your life? Chalk has changed my life. I will never stop taking a male vitality stack. I take it every day. When I travel, it comes with me in those little pill dispensers like old people have. That's how much I love the natural herbal supplements from Chalk. That's the difference it's made for me in my personal life, in my work life. When you have energy, when you feel good all the time, when your mood is good, your life gets better, and it's waiting for you at Chalk.com. Chalk.com. I personally take a male vitality stack every day, and I drink Chalk Lit Powder. It's what Aub puts in those smoothies. It's the only thing that makes them edible. Go find out what Chalk has for you. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Sir, have you ever heard of the Derinkuyu underground city in Turkey. Chris, you need to look this up. It's an underground city that was built in the 7th or 8th century BC. The city could house 20,000 people. There's air ventilation and well water for all five floors of the city. I, too, wake up dreaming of owning my own underground city. Gosh, I want to own an underground city so bad. Or at least an advanced tunnel complex. I am concerned about the costs and the safety of it, but I want one. And I did you look it up, Chris? Is it cool? Does it what? Why are you hemming and hawing? What? Chris said it's just a bunch of houses dug into a cave. It's like 2,000 years old, Chris. Were you expecting fresh drywall or something like that? Of course, it's not going to be like my tunnel system. We're getting design ideas, Chris, for later on. 3/4 of the parents in the country don't want tranny education in school. So why is it in school? Why? Well, I'm going to play something for you right now. This is the mayor of Denver. Now, Denver has a terrible reputation today, but you should understand that I grew up in the Rocky Mountains. And whenever, because Bozeman, Montana was real small back then, it's gotten bigger now. But if you wanted something modern, like a good concert, if there was a band, Metallica's coming to town. If I wanted to go see Metallica, and I was a big Metallica fan when I was younger, you had to go to Denver or Salt Lake City. It was kind of our hub. So I was always down in Denver or Salt Lake City. Denver was one of the great American cities. And people, especially people back east or down south who've never been there, you convince yourself that it must be dreadful weather. You're just picturing it being 20 below all the time. Well, it's not that it doesn't get cold and it's not that it doesn't snow, but a surprisingly balmy climate considering where it is. Denver is awesome, or at least it was very, very awesome. But in recent years, because the people of Denver vote Democrat, and Democrats are all communists now, they have taken all the positions of power in Denver, and they have destroyed that wonderful city, which I love so much. I will always love it. I just love me some Denver. I want you to listen to this. This will come back to the trainees in school. Their Denver went out. He went out and about. Listen to how he was greeted.
Yeah, I saw you at the parade, you coward mayor. This is your fault! Crime-loving Democrats are burning this city down! City's burning! People are being butchered!
That's somebody who's done being the silent majority. 75% of the parents in this country don't want tranny nonsense in their kids' school, yet tranny nonsense is all throughout the school. Why is it? Because the 25% who want that filth in the school are the ones who speak up. They're the ones who step up. They're the ones who organize, run for school board. They're the ones who make sure they're grabbing every single position of power. And they look out at the 75% who don't want it, and they're not concerned with silent majority whatsoever. This piggybacks off of what I was talking about earlier, about why Pete Hegseth and, if we believe the senators, all the other nominees are going to sail through the Senate when it was looking like there were going to be some serious stumbling blocks. They're going to sail through the Senate not because the GOP found a spine, but because you bullwhipped them in line and they started getting afraid for their jobs for the first time ever, and now they're all out there voting yes. If you want things fixed in your city, in your school, in your county, in your state, you must go do something about it. You. Don't look to your right. Don't look to your left. Don't look across at, well, my neighbor's the one in politics. You get involved. Normal people abstaining from the political process is exactly how a country as wonderful as ours can be run by the most despicable demonic filth out there. That only happens when the people neglect it. That was an encouragement. Go run for office. Jesse, LA is on fire. You mentioned on your show that the libs on social media are already talking about rezoning some areas for high-density rebuilds like they've done in Lahaina. Is this the covert way that the dirty commies are going to land grab by taking advantage of these tragic fires instead of the government commies overtaking it? Your thoughts? No, listen, this is what happens. When there's blood on the street, buy property. That's a saying way older than me. I don't even know who came up with it. I suppose I could look it up, but that would involve doing research for the show, and that's just not my thing. But when there's blood on the street, buy property. That's an old principle in business. You know the guys who make a fortune on the stock market? You know what they do? They wait until there's a crash, until there's a dip, and they buy. On an extreme level, there are people, developers, business people, they are generally either sitting on capital or have access to fast, easy capital. And when there is a tragedy, because some of these people are devoid of any humanity, they don't look at Lahaina burning and feel sorrow for the people. They don't look at LA burning and feel sorry for the people. They don't look at North Carolina drowning and now freezing and feel sorrow for the people. They look at an opportunity to buy real estate for pennies on the dollar. You know how much money you can make? Now, this is personally not my thing. I'm not going to do it. But we lived, remember I told you when we moved to Montana, we didn't have any money. And we moved every single year trying to make money. My dad was really, really good at it. Just identifying something that had better value. He would buy it, flip it, buy it, flip it, buy it, flip it. 10 houses in 10 years. We were always moving. And no one moved us. We didn't have any money for that. It was me and my dad in a U-Haul hauling all our stuff in and out. 10 times in 10 years. That's how we grew up. So I learned a bit about that area. Enough to be functional, right? Enough that I've done okay when I've had to buy and sell, you know, whenever I move various times across the country. The people who know what they're doing can make a fortune snapping up homes that have been foreclosed on. Did you know that? Now, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know how to improve it, preferably either on your own or you have some bargain basement contractor. But why is that so lucrative? Because you're buying a house that's being undervalued. Last person didn't make the payments. It finally has to go back to the bank. Normally, the home's not going to be in the best shape because somebody who doesn't make the payments oftentimes is somebody who doesn't care for the home. But if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to buy it on the low, improve it, and flip it, you can make a fortune on an extreme level. When the wealthy developers of this world, not just America, of this world, look at some of the choicest property in Malibu going up in flames, they aren't pulled, their heartstrings aren't tugged to go send food and water and baby formula and things like that. They look at each other and they think, oh my gosh, can you even imagine how much money we would make if we bought up just a couple blocks of this and threw a big apartment complex on it? They'd be printing money for the rest of their lives. And that's how people like that think. And will a lot of those people be dirty commies like BlackRock type? BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street? Of course they are. Of course they are. That's also why you put your money where your morals are when it comes to the private sector. You did switch your cell phone over to Pure Talk, right? Right? I know you already know that Pure Talk's the patriotic cell phone company, the one whose CEO fought for the country in Vietnam. But you understand how easy it is? Because I didn't know. When I switched to Pure Talk, I didn't know. So I get a hold of them on the phone, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I'm going to be on phone for an hour. They'll probably even leave me that I've got to have to. They'll call me back in 45 minutes. No. I think I was on hold for a minute. I got right through, and what really shocked me was I was speaking to an American who spoke English. You see, Pure Talk's customer service team, they're right here in the US of A. Americans who speak English. It's fast. It's pleasant. They're actually nice. It takes 10 minutes on the phone and you're switched. You don't even have to give up that phone or phone number you have. You can if you want, but they practically do everything for you. It's cake. All you have to do is dial #250 and say, Jesse Kelly, you're 10 minutes away from not supporting corporate filth anymore. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. Now, I wanted to just get to this voicemail really quickly.
About all this talk about preemptive pardons. That's all a bunch of Barbra Streisand, as Rush would say. I think the DOJ should just ignore them. They're not a real thing. Nobody's admitted to any crimes. I think the DOJ should ignore them and try them anyway and let the Supreme Court figure it out.
Okay. I don't hate that. But this goes back to what I've been talking about. And I don't want to get on this too much because I don't want to give you a preemptive negative view of Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi is Trump's pick for AG. He picked Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz lasted 5 minutes before he dropped out. Trump turned around and picked Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi, former AG of Florida. Okay, former AG of Florida. So, and I don't want you to get this impression that Pam Bondi is some kind of a disaster. That I've heard from a guy who heard from a guy that she's, you know, a secret commie or something like that. I don't want to give you that impression. I have heard good things about Pam Bondi. I'll say this again. I have heard good things about Pam Bondi. Not all good. There's been a little of this, little of that. But overall, I've heard good things about Pam Bondi. However, the Washington Post gave her a thumbs up when it comes to Attorney General. All right. Well, that's not going to work. It's not going to work if we have an attorney general who is, quote, qualified. That's what they said. She's very qualified because she was attorney general for 8 years down in Florida. Qualified or unqualified, that's not what we need in an attorney general. What we need, what we must have in an attorney general is somebody willing to blow up the norms of this government, because as of right now, the norms of this government are the criminals in the government never get held accountable for the crimes they commit because of the DOJ. Senator after senator, House member after House member has told me, Jesse, I referred them to the DOJ. Jesse, I referred them to the DOJ. Jesse, I referred them to the DOJ, and there's nothing I can do from there. And they're telling the truth. If the senator, Senator Schmidt, he's one of the good ones of Missouri. Good job, Missouri. If Senator Eric Schmidt, if he's trying to get some information from the FBI and the FBI does what it always does and they stonewall him and maybe he thinks there was some perjury there and he eventually says, hey, they're committing crimes. And Eric Schmidt submits a recommendation to the DOJ. It is then completely up to the DOJ whether or not to prosecute that FBI agent. And as of now, under Republicans and Democrats, they have all shared this. The attorney general leaves government people alone. Oh, they'll go after this or that, or the cartels here, the traffickers there, counterfeit money here, whatever, the Italian mafia, whatever they happen to be hot on at any given moment. But what you never see is an attorney general indicting, trying, and sending to prison people in the government. We must have that. And while I have not heard a negative word, not one, well, not many, about Pam Bondi, I have not talked to a single person who thinks she's that. She's going to be, from what I'm told, normal. And we can't afford normal. The most important job, the most important nominee, honestly, Attorney General might be more important than the presidency itself when you look at the levels of criminality and corruption inside of our government. The next Attorney General has to tear through the government like a blowtorch through butter to clean the criminals out of the government. And I have seen and heard nothing that lead me to believe Pam Bondi's going to be that one. Now, she's going to be the one. She's going to get confirmed. She's already the nominee. It's Trump's pick, not my pick. You're not your pick, not anybody's pick. That was his fallback plan after Matt Gaetz fell through. So that's what we got. But I have doubts.
Buenas tardes, Jesse. This is Joe from Wisconsin. I have a Spanish-speaking buddy who was looking for your podcast in Spanish. He couldn't find it, so I told him to look by the keyword small hands, but he still couldn't find it. Since you habla, could you help us out, please?
It's not very nice. I don't know why you put that one on the list, Chris, when that's not very nice at all. Oh, so I have an opinion on something before we get to the lawfare against Trump, which I will get to in a moment. Of course, Jack Smith dropped the whole thing on his way out. Jack Smith dropped he basically dropped his report, the investigative report. Why would you do that? Well, it's just a way to publicly smear Donald Trump on the way out the door. That's why he dropped it. Well, I mean, I'm dropping the case, but here's all the bad stuff he did in case you're interested in reading it. It's a really terrible thing to do. It's unprofessional. It's evil. It's wrong. But he's a communist, so that's kind of how he operates. Before I get to that, which may not be dropped all the way, I want to talk about something. It goes beyond Joe Biden. Something that has become normalized in this country, and what I say is going to sound extremely rude, cold-hearted. I will explain myself, but I don't know after my explanation if you're still going to think I'm rude and cold-hearted, but here we go. Joe Biden, he's having to pretend to be a functional adult during the last 6 days of his presidency. And the major thing he's dealing with at the moment when he's not pardoning his son and other criminals and turning terrorists loose from Gitmo, the other thing he's having to deal with or pretend to deal with at the time is these wildfires in Los Angeles. Kind of a big deal when you have this disaster, not natural, but when you have this disaster burning through everything. Now, everyone, what about the aid? We can't afford it. I don't have insurance. And so during one of these various photo op things, Joe Biden got up on the speakerphone and said this.
We're getting them help right now, as you all know. People impacted by these fires are going to receive one-time payment of $770. One-time payment.
The people impacted are going to receive a one-time payment of $770. That is a bunch of garbage, and what has happened in this country and our concept of government is garbage, and I'll explain what I mean next.
This is an iHeart podcast.